Hello, and you are listening to Eco Justice Radio on KPFK Los Angeles, a project of SoCal 350 Climate Action. Our show presents
environmental and climate stories from a social justice frame, featuring voices not necessarily heard on mainstream media. Welcome, I'm Jack Eyte. On today's show, The Wisdom of Sacred Fire, A Spiritual Journey, host Carrie Kim will be interviewing Don David Wiley, teacher, elder, and one of the founders of the Sacred Fire community. Don David Wiley is recognized for serving as a human vessel for Grandfather Fire. He's an initiated healer and ritual leader in both the Wixárika Maracame tradition and the Nahua path of weatherworking and healing in Mexico. Devoted to the guidance of spirit, he offers support and teachings to help people reconnect with heart, life, nature, and divine through ceremony, awareness, and meaningful relationships.
We start with Don David Wiley discussing the nature of fire.
Fire plays one of the most profound roles in our lives as being human beings. We are the only animal in the world that has a relationship with fire, to the point that anthropologists believe that our ability to think and cognate came from us gathering around the fire and sharing together in that way, produced something that no other animal has produced, which is explained in many ways in sacred stories that involve fire and what it did for us and how fire came to human beings. In the stories, fire said, "We're going to provide you with the help of how to work with each other and the world through connection." Fire is far more powerful and far more needed than just beyond light in the darkness, warmth in the cold. In some ways, it provides teachings and lessons. Fire is primarily a social effect, and you get to see this in indigenous cultures. When they're with fire very differently than Western people. They see we rely on the fire and the wisdom and that connectivity between those two worlds of nature and humanness, you know, through the spirit of fire, through something that's seen and yet not seen. And if you know how to watch its effect in you and others, you begin to see that's something the indigenous people see. The spirit of fire has asked that we bring this back through the Western culture that has forgotten it. My role and the role of our work is to bring fire back to humanity, to make easy something that wants to happen inside of us, that will struggle because of another side of us that gets blinded so easily, and to facilitate and to support us into engaging each other.
Aloha, this is Carrie Kim. Listeners, we are honored to have renowned teacher, elder, one of the founders of the Sacred Fire community, and a human vessel for Grandfather Fire, Don David Wiley, joining us today to help us remember humanity's original relationship with the living forces of nature. Sacred fire, weather beings, and the many divine aspects and expressions of reality that we have forgotten. In alignment with the ancestral wisdom of the two living traditions he leads, the Huichol and the Nahua, he will focus on teachings about sacred fire, restoring sacred reciprocity, the importance of ceremony and honoring and ultimately healing the planet by how we live. Ancient traditions, ancestral wisdom, and sacred relationships with nature and spirit can guide humanity's return to a more integrated, respectful, and balanced way of life. We thank the Tongva ancestors for the enduring presence, legacy, and care of this region. Our show comes to you from the ancestral homelands of the Tongva and all of their relatives. We invite you to align with and support the indigenous peoples where you live through sacred reciprocity and meaningful action with them. Actively contribute to preserving the traditions and lifeways of indigenous people wherever you live for future generations. Don David, it has been a long time coming, and we are ever so grateful to have you on the show.
Thank you very much, Carrie. I I appreciate the opportunity to speak in whichever way I can. I love your forward there. I think you just said it all. So I guess we're done, right?
I guess we're done. I'm signing off. Well, we honor the Indigenous elders and teachers before you who have carried these traditions and wisdom for countless millennia and have done so and taken it upon themselves to do so for the continuance of life. Is there any particular way you would like to open the show?
Well, I feel like you framed kind of the core. Well, first you did I felt you did a really good job of framing the core view, you know, in very simple, broad strokes. Core, but the reciprocity of simple is complex. So it's like unpacking those simple words like reciprocity, ancestors, and you know, something. It's like when you come from a culture that, you know, the attention span is like so short, and there's such a fight for your attention with the immediate that and to forget that your worldview, whatever you think it is or may not know it is built on lots of history. Mm-hmm. And you can do whatever you want to with it, but it's operating.
Right.
It's like your operating system. It's like, you have to use some techie kind of words to try to describe ways to relate to what you said. And that's what's very important, is relating to, okay, your experience. It's a combination of your experience, which involves your heart and your mind, and your view. So how do you see the world? And it's actually infinitely complex. But if you have a pattern of seeing a kind of a focused way that has been honed for thousands of years, which means it had to work. Okay, there's something about it. Now, not everything, but that's a good operating system. Mm-hmm. And to say, well, what about, you know, the reason you're having a show such as this is like, okay, if we look at the core way you engage and relate and experience life and its reciprocity with you, that's huge, because nature, we call nature, is always, it freely reciprocates all the time. Its existence is based on reciprocity. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of the odd creature out in the equation.
Yes.
And we delineated as, well, we have a nature, you know, we're part of nature. You look at this flesh and blood and eat, sleep, and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, that's, we're, you know, like 99% of our stuff is wired in, if we could say that, or we're exuded from, we're from all of that. And at the same time, we have this 1%, which you could say is human nature. Mm-hmm. And that's, you could say, the bugaboo is.
Yeah, that's the millstone around our necks.
That's right. And traditions always have their way of, they're trying to solve that 1%. Is like, okay, we look at the trees, we look at the mountains, we look at the sky, the living sky, that, you know, as life, as alive, you know, if you want to use the term called animism, that's close. How come they're not doing ceremony, they're not healing people, they're not carrying on tradition, but yet they are in countless communicative interactiveness that some seen and unseen, and
making messes, making a lot of messes.
We have to do something different. Mm. We can't deny, well, not successfully deny the nature of ourself. Mm-hmm. We can't deny that without some big consequence. And if you stray from that truth of, okay, this is actually our reference standard, because nature does not lie, cheat, steal, okay.
Not corrupt or greedy, and yeah.
It does not. It does
unethical.
Not everything. Their nature has, and it moves and migrates, and life cycles are all, we could say, determined by the sublime and divine nature of how it exists. And part of us is always trying to fight that. And,
well, you know, I wonder, Don David, if you could begin by sharing how you became a ceremonial and ritual leader in the Huichol and Nahua traditions. You know, we understand you didn't seek this path. You talked about the Munda and that you were basically called, or that it was a spiritual demand. And if you could share about that original calling from Grandfather Fire.
Okay, and well, try to give you the short version because it makes a great campfire story, but we
it's a timeless show.
So basically, was the call it the element was I came to Mexico to be in relationship with a Mexican woman, and as a trade consultant from I was a management consultant and a trade consultant under NAFTA.
Oh, wow.
And I came down in 1994, and then the economy went to hell.
Mm-hmm.
And so my partner, she's very spiritually oriented, so she was trying all kinds of eclectic stuff, and I was denying that and just giving her my scientific view, because mm-hmm. I grew up in what's considered science city, Oak Ridge. It was built in the early 40s as part of the Manhattan Project. Mm-hmm. My father didn't come until after that, it's the end of the mm-hmm. war, and mm-hmm. as an optometrist, but that's my indoctrination, even though I was raised mm-hmm. Catholic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you got double whammy, science yeah, and Catholicism.
we kind of looked the other way. So anyway, I attended a retreat just because desperation, I guess. I said, sure, I'll try something.
Uh-huh.
And in a garden, an apparition appeared and scared the bejesus out of me. And I thought, I am going crazy. I am losing it. You know, this meditation or whatever it is we were doing, like, I'm losing my mind.
Uh-huh.
And because he was talking to me, and it was like, and I was like, oh, geez. And so I went back to the retreat center, and my partner was a psychotherapist. And I said, I need some drugs, or I need some both. Or in her Mexican way, I don't know if she took me serious or not. She said, well, let's go see what he wants.
Right. She was more curious.
So go back out there.
Right.
So I went back out there to say, okay, this is just a one-off. Okay, it ain't going to happen again. And I walk out there to this remote part of this garden. And there he appears. And
this is broad daylight, right? This is daytime.
Broad daylight. Yeah. And I start making small talk. And he says, you're really afraid of me, aren't you? And I said, yeah. He said, you want me to go away? And he was speaking in English, although he was he was small. He was probably like, I don't know, like 5'6" or something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He looked, his skin was super wrinkled, super dark, with little dark beady eyes and headband,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and wearing kind of a rustic Montreal clothing that are worn by peasants
uh-huh.
in colonial Mexico. And I said, no, let's take this to another step. And so he says, you're really torn up about your kid and your situation. And I said, yeah. It was like, oh my gosh. So he seemed to, mm-hmm. he seemed to be abreast of my situation. He said, I'll make a deal with you.
Mm.
And I said, okay. And I just felt like, wow, this could happen. Well, maybe anything could happen. He said, I'll fix it. I'll fix this with you if you become a shaman. And I didn't even know what a shaman was.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said, sure.
And
then I said,
even
what's
day?
A shaman?
Yeah.
And he said, oh, hey, look, you got a lot of time. Don't get hung up on labels.
Okay.
And work. So you'll figure it out at some point. And then he disappears.
Uh-huh.
And okay. So I run back in, say, hey, he's going to solve all my financial problems and stuff like that. I said, become shaman. And now she starts paying attention, like, oh my God. And I said, what's a shaman? And she kind of stumbled. And I said, don't worry, I'll go home and look it up in the dictionary. So he showed up one more time early that morning, and I was like startled and like, what's going on? I said, well, we got a deal. So, okay, what do you want? And so he gave me some instructions on how to pray. And I said, okay. And then now he kind of made his way known, but at some point he said, okay, because I started asking, you know, who are you exactly? You know, like, what mm-hmm. what the heck is this? And he's asked, you know, in the right time. And so he made, tried to shorten this a bit. He sent me to someone. He says, okay, there's a, what would amount to over a period of a month, he would send me to someone who was going to take me to a Huerarica or Huichol Maricami elder who's waiting for you, and mm-hmm. he'll know who you are and what that
right.
is. And then so I went copied him to Nayarit, to Peak Nayarit, and the guy said, oh, you. And so I had to now start to apprentice to become what's called a Maricami,
mm-hmm.
and, which is you could say a healer, ceremonial leader, and so forth,
mm-hmm.
in Wet'etica or Huichol tradition. And then
mm-hmm.
about a month later, he led me to someone more local. That guy was like 700 miles away. This guy is kind of a local. And mm-hmm. because I'm here in Tepoztlan, Mexico. This is the ancestral homeland of the Nahua people. And so this guy said basically the same thing. Oh, yeah. And you have to, but they both said, oh, by the way, you have to do this. Because they identified that voice and that being as, oh, this is the Wet'suwet'en call it Tatawari, which is our grandfather fire. And he's seen and held as the original Marikami, the one who brought the view of the tradition and the stories in the world to humanity to help us out, bail us out of the trouble. And the same in the Nahua tradition. They said, oh, that's Piutukutli, which is every day. They have some different ones. They have a feminine one called Chatiko, and they have the storyteller, cosmic storyteller called Wewitiotl. Anyway, he said, oh, this is that. And you got it. They both said equally, without knowing what the other said, you got to do this. You're going to get all kinds of good gifts, stuff like that. It's going to be great. But if you don't, it's going to be bad news for you.
Very hard. Yeah, very hard, right? Your life. Yeah.
And so I said, well, I made my agreement. And so I'm going to live up to what I said. And sure enough, a month later, he brought me this big trade consulting contract with Sopcars USA. And it paid all the back everything and gave me the money I needed and was just like this amazing. And so he delivered it then. So my job was to deliver my end. So years of doing this, because now you begin to see that there's a, we call the hidden ink of the contract.
Yeah.
It keeps rolling out. And so now you begin to see that this is part of a community formation, this is part of reciprocity with the indigenous elders, and that they recognize you, and because you're doing what is not has very little to do with ethnicity. It has to do with what you're being asked to do. Mm-hmm. And that's it, because they made it all.
Right.
And so it's their world that we live in as part of the world. Yeah. But our job is how do we live in the world that's and in relationship with the world that we wake up in or we're born into.
How long ago was that, Don Devi? That was decades ago, yes.
That was 1996. Mm-hmm. So that's when I started. And so there's different forms of, and you know, they have different approaches to initiation in the Nahua. So you start with in the what's called Rey Cerro or Kiapakis, the Callers of Rain. Callers of Rain. So Callers of Sky Water is the way that really translates in Nahua. Mm-hmm. But you also work with storms, because here at these high altitudes, we're about 6,000 feet.
You work with, I'm sorry, did you say storm?
Yeah, storms. So you storms. Work with storms. But now what it is that they're asking you, there's a hierarchy in nature. And so what is being determined is, are they asking you? And now that can often occur through a lightning strike, surviving a lightning strike, which I did in 2014.
You did that in 2014.
Yeah. And so when I was 14 years old, I survived. And he said, well, see, they're calling you, but now the door is opening. But it has a healing path to it, but it's a calling. It's not like a curandero, which is like, you know, your tio did it, or your abuelito.
Right, it's just like generationally passed on.
It's kind of like a knack, kind of the knack. But this is like a, you know,
chosen,
you don't have an option.
Right,
It's like they're asking you. So this is kind of like a what's called a cargo, a weight that you have to carry the weight.
Don David, we are going to take a break right here. We'll be back with you to talk more about your path with the Huichol and Nahua as a ceremonial and ritual leader.
Very good.
Hey, listeners, quick break here. We hope that you're enjoying Eco Justice Radio on KPFK Los Angeles. Stay connected by subscribing on all major podcast apps and visit our website, ecojusticeradio.org, to check out previous shows and guests and get connected with us on social media. Today, you're listening to The Wisdom of Sacred Fire, a spiritual journey with host Kerry Kim and guest Don David Wiley, teacher, elder, and one of the founders of the Sacred Fire community.
Listeners, we are back with Don David Wiley talking about weather workers and his role as a spiritual and ceremonial leader with the Huichol and Nahua. You know, I understand that people of different cultures were called from key places on the planet to help restore humanity's sacred relationship with fire. Why were and are these specific places important?
Well, for sure. If we just look at it, if we want to look at it at a secular historical view, it's like, well, everyone begins to recognize that it started with fire. It's like we're the only animal with fire. And when fire came into our lives, however you want to explain that, it dramatically changed our nature, or animal nature, into another capacity for the better, but also the worse of it. And because if we became what my teachers talk about as the choice-making animal, you know, nature does not choose. It's like nature instructs the proper and balance and reciprocity of its existence. And we, like I said before, we're part of that. And yet we kind of thinking outside of that box, which is like, okay, that's kind of
separate
territory. And so our food, our gathering, anthropologists said we used to sleep in trees. Now with fire, we can now sleep on the ground and we could make stuff. And even the way we communicated, you know, being around in circle and so if we've been around, whether you say it's Homo sapien or Homo sapiens sapien, you know, that's around 800,000 to 300,000 and in anthropological terms, or maybe even longer. You know, there were other hominids that were like us and they had fire. So this was a game changer. And so that it's recognized and experienced as a spiritual element in our life as a bridge between, because the fire is connectivity and transformation. It transforms the wood, transforms our food, transforms our lives. Connectivity means there's the us of us, not there's me and then there's you. And I'm not so sure about you. I'm also not quite so sure about me either. So like that. Okay. So that we could call the development of consciousness, if you want to say that, from an awareness as nature. We are as nature.
Right.
Sits around and, you know, contemplates their existence. We do because we're trying to figure it out. And so fire has always been very fundamental in that, in a spiritual sense, whether it's religious, you know, the candles and the churches, or the Vestal fire of Rome, or whatever you see it, or the fire ceremonies like in the Wadatica tradition, or the candles and so forth, the incense burners. It's like that's what connects us and tethers us to that. And if we lose that, because it's explained as sacred amnesia, we have this drift away from that creativity of our mind, that mind creativity, not the heart creativity. We drift away from that, we can lose it. It's easy to lose and hard to gain. And so you drift away from that, then that's it. And that's why Grandfather Fire set us into with co-firekeepers. Like, okay, there's a way to facilitate a sacred fire to kind of revive that's a latent in us because as a living being, because it's fundamental to our existence. And from the beginning, we wouldn't be a human being without it.
And so
that's why fire is at the center, and that's why we talk about it. It's the center of the four directions.
Don David, thank you so much for sharing so much of your wisdom with us today. You know, I wonder if you could speak about how listeners can be connected to Sacred Fire Community, Sacred Fire Foundation. We didn't even get to talk about Blue Deer Center, where you do healing intensives. But if you could speak about how people can, especially people who are seeking, they know that we are at a tipping point. They know that we are out of balance, living in unsustainable ways for our spirit and our spiritual life. So if you could speak about ways that they can connect with you and follow what you're doing and or participate themselves.
Sure. Yeah, because Sacred Fire was, you know, Grandfather Fire helped us bring what's called Sacred Fire as an organization and briefly. So we model that. So we have traditional people. So we are a part of the living, that means committed, very heavily committed. And we act as models for a you know, like kind of a public square for people. You see the essence being modeled without the traditional commitments. And so we've had a certain program set up, which is for fire keeping. We have sacred fires, which we have a special training for facilitating that experience of being once again with fire in that primordial human way. To
could you give the link for the site?
It's called sacredfire.org. And so if you contact that, you'll see that we have that. We have living with life cycles and relationship. It's like the public way to experience that. Don't require calling. Requires you want to get back on track, then go to sacredfire.org, and you'll see the offerings, you'll see location, and you'll see ways to get involved.
And Blue Deer Center?
Say again?
Blue Deer Center?
Blue Deer Center is a very specialized place for, you know, people who want to experience a healing place, you know, but whereas Sacred Fire is international.
Got it.
Like from Australia to Europe and and Mexico, US, and so, but that's a place where, well, the programs and the healing practices are modeled, either an elder is doing healing retreats. So they host that in a very special place where it can be done well. And so that's her mission. But sacredfire.org, go check it out and make your way back to the obvious, you know, wisdom. We call wisdom is always just the obvious, and to wake up to the obvious and be in relationship, and you'll make different choices. Your relationships will flourish with humans and yourself and other humans. And there you go. It's a world and a life that you will not want to give up.
And it's not for ourselves also, it's for the whole of the world, really. You know, as you mentioned on the site, well, I think it was on the Blue Deer Center site where it spoke about when one person heals, it does heal the world on some level, you know, for us to do that.
Reciprocity. Yeah. You know, and when we get what we receive, it's never just for us. It never is. It's always for service for people and community. And so we're here to like fire. And fire, as Grandfather Fire says, he's the only element that spreads.
Earth, and maybe earth, kindle water, our heart's water, fire.
The fire spreads. That's our heart, and that's our social fire. And so we spread the good stuff.
Yeah, and the deep knowing. Stuff. Yeah.
Then it transforms the world because it's transformative.
Don David, thank you so much for all of your. Thank you for following, for responding, and you heard the call of the manda of the spiritual demand upon you, and you accepted.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you for the work you guys are doing, because we need more people like you.
Hey, listeners, to check out the extended recording of this show or to explore our other shows, visit our website, ecojusticeradio.org, and subscribe to our podcast. This has been Eco Justice Radio and our show, The Wisdom of Sacred Fire, A Spiritual Journey. Thank you to our guest, Don David Wiley, and thank you to our listeners for joining us.
Please connect with us on social media at Eco Justice Radio, SoCal 350, and Wilder Utopia. If you like what you've heard, you want others to be informed, subscribe and share the episodes. You've been listening to Eco Justice Radio, a project of SoCal 350. Executive producer and co-host myself, Jack Eit, co-host Carrie Kim, an engineer, and original music by Blake Quake Beats. And until next time, remember, the power is yours.
You're invited to tune in to The QR Code with your hosts, Ramses Ja and Q Ward.
The Q in the QR code goes by the name of Q Ward.
The voice you just heard is the R in the QR code. He goes by the name Ramses Ja.
Every Monday through Thursday at 6 a.m., KPFK's own Global Village host, Kevin Lincoln, listens.
I stumbled across the QR code one morning around 6 a.m. and was instantly hooked. I find the host, Ramses and Q, to be insightful without trying too hard, funny in the right places, heartfelt when it counts, and always tuned in to the moment we're living in. They take a deep dive into recent events and news and dice it up and discuss it with clarity and intelligence. I try to never miss a QR code. I'm an early riser, so 6 a.m. works for me. That blend of honesty, insight, and good energy, it just starts my day right.
The QR code here on KPFK every Monday through Thursday at 6 a.m. And if you're not an early riser like Kevin, you can catch the rebroadcast every Monday through Thursday.